Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel for this Wednesday morning. It is the 12th of November and it's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you and then we'll be on our way to talk about many interesting issues, which I find fascinating and I think hopefully you will too. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. There's just too much spam in this world.
Yes, there is. There's both the meat and
the potatoes
and the Alan's beverages being delivered. Ah. Good morning, Colleen. Thank you very much.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Yes.
Alan.
Oh God. The coffee has arrived.
Here excellent. Will come all the letters.
Yeah, thank you both.
Very much.
Ray Graff is here.
Hi.
Good morning. And Rosemary Arameo joins us. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Very nice to have you all here. Just a reminder, if you want to be a part of our conversation, you can email us directly. It's roundtable@wamc.org. Also, if you want to post it for the entire world to see, and who wouldn't want to do that?
No.
WAMC.org/roundtable, and then that'll go up on our post. So what happens is if you go to WAMC.org/roundtable, you'll see the posting on there for today's show, which says panel 11, 12, 14, and then it'll say comments, and then you just comment there,
sure.
And then people will see it, and then people can comment on your comment and all that good
it's
stuff.
It's like a community.
It is. It's like a community. It's
wow.
As if we have a community. So just to keep that in mind. Also, let's talk about things in the news. You know, I have to say, I was telling Rosemary as I greeted her this morning that, which is always an enthusiastic greeting, by the way, that...
Yours or hers?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, what does that mean?
She seems happy to be here.
I was glad to see her.
Oh,
I was walking
nice.
By and I was like, hey!
Yeah.
So you were enthusiastic.
Yeah, I was
enthusiastic. Was it reciprocated?
Was she
enthusiastic?
Yeah, she was enthusiastic.
Well, you know, after yesterday there were some letters. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not in treatment somewhere, eh?
Yeah, not
for you.
Not put away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe I may have said something about we're going to have to start getting you bodyguards to get out of here. Anyway, we're going to try to talk about things that maybe aren't as fraught with...
controversy.
Yes, with Rosemary controversy. But anyway... I do want to talk about China and U.S., and we'll get to that in a minute. But to me, the big story, and I realize that this is a regional story, goes all over our region, and I don't get it, and I find it fascinating. But this Price Chopper story is really amazing to me.
Why?
Price Chopper supermarkets is after having been in the market for a long time, more than 40 years, as the Price Chopper brand.
Yeah.
Announced yesterday that they are going through a $300 million marketing plan, an investment over the next 5 to maybe even 10 years to change the name of the store from Price Chopper to Market 32.
Why are you laughing?
I don't get it, but I don't want to alienate the chair, Neil Golub, because every once in a while I do, and then I hear from his secretary says he wants a tape of what I said.
Ah, okay.
Well, I think when you put out this, here's the thing. Well, look, we comment on things in the news, and this is certainly in the news. What I don't understand, and help me out here, because I've read the releases, I've watched the press conferences. If you're a well-known and established brand
for decades.
Yeah. For decades in the region, doesn't a company give its right arm and
for
leg
recognition.
For that recognition of and to then to change it abruptly strikes me as, because I believe the first things I said, oh, look, new Coke, where I just thought it was weird that you would take something that is so established in the region. And by the way, I think throughout our listening area, all throughout the Capital Region, all throughout New York and New England, Price Chopper exists. And
it certainly does in my town of Great Barrington.
Yeah, and it's been around for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cool name, the guy with the axe and the signs.
Yeah.
I'm going over to the Price Chopper.
Yeah,
exactly.
Price Chopper.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, so, I mean, Studio 54 is a good name. I mean, that'll be a nice switch.
WAMC, like WAMC Quail 318 should be our new name here. Quail 318. You're now listening to Quail 318.
Right. Right. Now, my wife, who is in marketing and public relations.
You better be careful here.
No. We can't talk about anything else. This is all we've been talking about for the last 24 hours.
Then mission accomplished for Price Chopper.
Well,
mission accomplished.
No.
Not in that way. Not in talking in a good way, he means.
We're just talking about how it was very strange. Here are my things. One, first of all, I made the point about when you have an established brand, why would you change it? I don't understand that.
Sure.
I don't get that.
Okay, but we should talk about that because that is a very interesting question. Why do you... Why do you change your name? There will be people... People will talk. They'll guess at your motives. You know what I mean?
Clearly, I would suggest to you that this is not a snap. You'd mentioned this was a sudden decision. I'm sure this has been in the works and thought about for a long time.
They went on and on in the press conference about how this was carefully mapped out and they were going to spend really years in the future moving from $300 million.
$300 million.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Here's the thing I don't
understand.
A lot of lamb chops.
Dorky name.
Right. Dorky name.
If you're going to rebrand, make it something really cool, but Market 36, it refers to when
32.
It was... 32, sorry. See? There's a point.
See, there you go.
And it refers to the year it was founded.
But it's only day
what
one.
Does that mean to
Which
anybody?
Which is almost more to the point as to, if you're going to allude to your founding, then why don't you call it what you called it to begin with?
Does this smell to anybody like some... I have to watch what the word I'm using.
Oh boy,
half person, half something like somebody came in and
half-assed approach.
You can say that.
I don't know if
you
can say that, Joe.
I think you can,
okay. Johnny One Cheek.
Okay, but Johnny One Cheek.
Now there's a good name.
I like it. Okay, so I obviously somebody came in here, high price probably. And told them this is the way to do it.
Here's what I don't understand. And again, this goes back to the conversations with my dear wife.
I hope we're taping this because I'm going to have to send it on.
and that is that, look, I understand the supermarket world is changing.
With Whole
Foods and Fresh Market and so forth. Now, so if you want to have a brand, a Price Chopper offshoot, and call it Market 32, that makes sense to me. For example, people make the distinction between Hilton and a Hilton Garden Inn. People make a distinction between Target and a Target Superstore. People make the distinction between Price Chopper and a Price Chopper Supercenter.
Okay,
so why not do a Price Chopper Market 32 and still have your Price Chopper stores throughout?
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing of it.
You know, does it really matter so much if this is the store in your neighborhood and you get your price and you get the price that you want and you get your stuff? I mean, when I grew up, Albany Public Market was up the street. A&P was up the street.
Yeah.
They're gone, but there's still a grocery store and we still go to it.
I think there still are A&Ps.
But not in my neighborhood.
Not in
dear old Delmar. You're right. I think two answers to that. I think one, and again, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answers, but I think when you have a neighborhood store, I understand that. But when you talk about the Capital Region where people have a choice, if you're in Saratoga or if you're in Glens Falls and you have 10, 12 different places that you can go, I don't know why you don't go for the brand that you have worked so hard to establish.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You go for the prices. If store X has cheese that is $2 more for a 3-pound container than store Y, then you need to buy cheese. You're going to go to store Y.
Yeah,
but $300 million on changing the name, isn't there a better way to spend that in order to make sure you have the profit you're talking about?
Some consultant is.
That's what I just said.
In. Yeah, it
don't
is.
Don't I get any credit around
you?
Here?
Do. Yes, you do. Yeah, I just stole your idea and said it as a
no, no. It was actually Ray.
You know what?
Stole it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a discussion. I didn't realize that there was some sort of grading system. But
proprietary.
High marks to Alan for that. I apologize.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, it is interesting. And the whole press conference was about how coolly they were doing this. This wasn't something that they had thought of the spur of the moment, and they were rolling it out over time.
Well, people
and
make
changing
mistakes.
All their stores.
Joe said it when he said New Coke. Did you get the credit for that?
Do you think this could be Price Chopper's New Coke?
Well, it might be.
Well, at least Coke kept the name. I mean, I don't. That's what I don't even get. I don't even get that. One of the things that struck me in the press conference was that the I believe it was Jerry Gold said in the press conference, and I'm looking for the direct quote, and I don't know if I can find it in time. But so I'm paraphrasing. But it was you were going to have a completely different shopping experience. It is going to be a whole new experience when you enter the store. Mm-hmm. And I thought after you worked like so hard
to convince everybody, you got a good experience going into that.
Yeah,
store.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like you had a brand, at least, I mean, maybe they have, obviously, they have knowledge that we don't have as to how consumers felt. But it seemed to me that you have a brand that people like, that respect. I was, again, talking to Kelly about this. You read...
Kelly, for those of you who don't know,
is my wife, my dear wife, yeah. I mentioned earlier. Yeah. But if you walk into any, or if you read literature, book, novels, people talk about going into the Price Chopper. I mean, it's a recognized brand.
I have one question. Didn't Price Chopper change its name once before? Didn't it start out like Central Markets or something?
I don't know.
Beats me.
But well, could this be the old double end around? Could this,
double
in
end
fact,
around.
In other words, I worked at a radio station, an oldie station, 1,000 years ago, mm-hmm. and for a brief period of time, as a publicity stunt, we did. Oh, we're changing to Raisin Radio, and we're playing some Motown song for over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
It got people to think and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the move was something quite different. So could this just be, we're throwing this out there, we haven't spent $300 million
yet. Oh, you mean they're going to say, just kidding?
No, but we're saying because of popular demand, we're keeping our Price Chopper the same.
Well, first of all, somebody will say to them, maybe you should do that. But I don't think they're kidding. I think they got themselves
They haven't cut $300 million check yet.
I don't think they've got themselves a marketer or somebody who figured this out for them.
They did say in the press conference that this was based on consumer surveys and
focus
groups.
They always say that. Right?
But my question is what really led them to do this? And I think one of the things that they risk in this strategy is getting people to ask that question. In other words, is the competition getting too great? Is there something that we don't know that's behind all of this? And the other thing I want to say, just for the heck of it, is aren't we great that we're a public radio station and that, you know, nobody's going to, you know, rip advertising from us?
Which has been done by this particular...
Well, it's been known to... They've been known
brands.
To get angry.
Yeah. Well, they're powerful. They're powerful, yeah. And, you know, they exercise that right. And
Quite right.
But we are giving them lots of free publicity, and perhaps...
By the way, Rosemary, what's the price of prime rib this week?
When you were talking about cheese, and if you're going to get your cheese cheaper, you know, as if you... chop the price of the cheese. You know, that maybe you would call it that. It would make sense.
I don't like any of the names of the supermarkets. None of them are great. You know, Whole Foods, Fresh Farms.
I think Whole Foods is very good. I think it's a very good name because it describes what you're going to be getting. Whole Foods.
You like Whole Foods. I like its nickname, Whole Paycheck.
Whole Paycheck.
It's the opposite of Price Chopper.
Can we take a break and talk to the legal department for a minute?
Yes, let's do that. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Goldsmith, specializing in custom designed fine jewelry and repairs, created live in an open studio in downtown New Paltz. Also featuring the work of more than 10 fine jewelry artists from across the U.S., HudsonValleyGoldsmith.com. Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. And Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com.
question. How come there's no Wegmans in the area?
Well, go ahead to the legal department.
That's all right. I can say that, can I?
Yeah, sure you
What's
can.
Wrong with that?
Why
sure
is there no Wegmans?
I didn't want to.
What's a Wegmans? Wegmans is a fantastic supermarket.
South Central Way?
In the western,
Ithaca is a big...
If you ever go to Ithaca... I don't know about their museums and their art things, but I do know about Wegmans. It's well and worth your while to just walk
heck?
In there.
What have we become here? What is
this? I'm just telling you. I'm not getting paid for that.
This is consumer information.
Okay. To Rosemary's point, in 1972, the company converted its Pittsfield, Massachusetts store to Price Chopper after originally being called Central Market. Mm-hmm. They've been called Central Market.
So they've done change before.
It says this is far from the first name change in the company's history. But this is the first since 1972, I believe. So, all right, we can put that to rest and we can talk about other things. All right.
Any letters?
I don't think there are any letters. At least I haven't gotten any, but that may not mean anything.
Golub's lawyer will be firing one off in a moment.
That may not be anything over here. Mean anything. Do you see anything, Joe?
I do. A few issues. Price Chopper is a cutesy old-fashioned name. The gourmet food revolution, okay trend, but it's going on for 20 to 30 years, demands a more serious name. All right. Yeah. And their profitability is likely sliding. That must be their motivation here. Whether they need to spend a zillion bucks making the change is a worry, but I say it's a good move for them. Otherwise, that is from Jennifer Clark. Mike says, from what I can tell, what they're really doing is a total makeover of their stores for $300 million. The name change is just a small part of it.
I see.
I thought it was the branding effort. I thought they labeled it as a
branding effort.
But maybe
that's you're putting up new signs and changing the decor.
Okay, well, you've read them, and those people have checked in. That's good.
Yeah, we got a couple
more. We don't have to agree with them. Go ahead. I just don't have them here.
Oh, that's all right. Well, we'll get them. We'll take a break. We'll get you. We actually got a lot, so we'll...
Okay, you'll set my thing up like you always do?
I will do that.
Thank you.
We'll do that during the break. I'm Joe Donahue. He's Alan Chartok. He's Ray Graff. She's Rosemary
Boy,
Mayo.
We're in trouble.
We'll be back
yes,
after
you
this,
are.
This short break. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff is here. Rosemary Armeo is here. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We also have made it so that if you just go to WAMC.org/roundtable, you can click on the panel discussion and post your comment right there, and the whole wide world web can see it.
And by, yes, and by doing that, you assure that people will see, right? Let me just get this straight. You assure that people will see that you have posted, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't be your full name and address.
And then you can comment. People can comment on your post, and it starts, as Ray was saying
and
earlier.
We can, too.
As a community. Exactly.
We can give
Rosemary
back.
Can,
answer
Rosemary
back.
Can
defend ourselves.
Defend herself, right. Cool. Okay. We got
politely.
You need help, Rosemary.
Not surprisingly, we got a lot of letters on Price Chopper, and I'll let you go to town.
Here we go. Sam says, name, and by the way, thanks for fixing it, Joe. Sam says, name change, name change takes the focus off of price and onto product, hence profitability. And then something else is going to happen soon.
Interesting.
Julie says... Having spent decades living in Rochester, New York, I keep asking Wegmans to build stores in the Hudson Valley. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of it because it hasn't been vetted by our legal department.
Okay.
Okay. And so then Cedric says, Price Chopper, the name is obviously outdated. It sounds like a place you could get generic 3-liter sodas in the 80s. The name change makes sense to change with the times.
He had me at 3-liter
sodas. Yeah, you can still get 3-liter
sodas.
That
sounds pretty good.
That's not outdated. We still want to do that.
John says, I disagree, rename change. Nobody will switch stores because they changed the name. The name Price Chopper is dated and won't appeal to new customers who are looking for something current and upscale. So not lose any existing and gain new equals good decision. That says, I don't like Market 32 because of the number in the name. Too easy to mistake. It's as if you're looking up a phone number or web address. Okay.
I agree with that.
And Carrie says... Should have been called The Market. Good ad campaigns could have been built on this. Market 32 sounds weirdly post-apoc- apocalyptic.
Why does it sound post-apocalyptic?
I don't
know. Sector 32.
Area 51. Maybe they could have called it that.
They're making a Hunger Games allusion.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
It goes on. Yeah. It goes on. Yeah. Sector 32 sort of thing for movies like The Hunger Games. Not friendly. Yeah, only the golems care about 32. It has no meaning to the customers. Well, I don't know whether that's true. Happiness is a butterfly.
No, I think that's just
the...
Oh,
read.
Read the Hawthorne quote.
Happiness is a butterfly.
So sorry.
Happiness is 32 butterflies.
No. Wait, he's going to do a soliloquy from Hamlet in a moment. Go ahead.
Alas, poor Shattuck.
Shelley...
This is so much more fun than news.
Okay.
Shelley says,
that right.
As an avid grocery shopper, my experience is that price shopping is very, very expensive. I don't think that's true compared to other markets. Conversations with others confirm this, and I'm sure they feel the need to rebrand because the buzz surrounding their store and prices are negative in general. I don't think any of that's true. I mean, I find them to be quite reasonable. I don't know. In my town. Hello, lawyers. Let's see.
Let it be said.
I didn't think that was true. Okay, and Alyssa says, hello, folks. With regards to the Price Chopper name change, I think this is a huge opportunity.
Look at the subject heading. Just want to say.
Oh, can I read that? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, Price Chopper, Zombie Slayer's market of choice.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
That's great.
What a bunch of wags.
Okay.
Or wags.
Hello, folks. With regards to Price Chopper name change, I think there's a huge opportunity being missed here. What is the most popular television show on TV right now? The Walking Dead. Hello, marketing tie-in. Where do people run to first in the zombie apocalypse? The supermarket. Thanks, Alyssa. Okay, and Mattman says, Price Chopper guy with axe avoids Redskin style backlash.
Yeah.
What?
I think that's a stretch. That's a stretch.
People have been using axes.
I don't like that.
Paul Bunyan might be offended as well.
Yeah. And Ryan says, I think the story this morning made pretty clear. While the name of the store is familiar to people in areas served by Price Chopper, in other places, the name is similar to names of discount stores. Think names like Save-A-Lot or Dollar General. They are gambling that they will keep loyal customers in the region, and a new name will allow them to expand into upstate markets elsewhere.
So that's interesting. So then this person would say that the insinuation of the name or the implication is that the quality is of lesser...
Yeah,
it's an interesting idea. I never thought of that.
But see, I still think you can have the brand loyalty and also make the by changing your logo, changing your look, changing the look of the stores.
Well, they've changed the look of the stores,
right?
Very, you know,
which is certainly more upscale than
delis and soups.
Nice, I go there all the time.
All right, sir.
Hello, boy. Peggy says, "Welcome back from yesterday, and thank you for being." To Rosemary. Aha! Rosemary, welcome back from yesterday, and thank you for being an insightful, brilliant member of the Roundtable panel.
Oh, that's my favorite letter.
I'll bet it is. And Ryan says, I can't believe this is what you guys are leading off with. I listen because you don't talk about non-stories unlike CNN. What about net neutrality or climate change?
Let's move on. That's a good idea.
Those are good, too.
Yeah, and certainly we've never talked about those.
Net neutrality, we haven't.
We didn't talk about it today.
Well, we've talked about it a lot.
That was a big development yesterday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, let's do that now. Go ahead.
Wow. All right, you done?
I don't know.
Let's rename the show Roundtable 32. Let's just decide to...
Right, and every day we'll do 32 letters.
Quell 318. Quell 318.
Okay.
Quell 318.
All right, net neutrality by special request. This was the story that we, as Rosemary mentioned, and rightfully so, that we had a big development on this story. And... let me just bring it up.
Development was the President of the United States said, let's keep it. Let's protect it.
Let's not let the rich guys buy it all.
Yeah. He's declared that the Internet is not a luxury like cable television. It is a necessity of American life along with electricity and telephone service, and it needs to be protected and kept open. But the way he did it is kind of scary. He wants to bring it under the regulation of the FCC, which doesn't sound like the internet might be unregulated and free for long.
That might be a non-starter.
Yeah, it's
on the Hill.
The solution. Yeah, he's running into it. The Ted Cruz and the Tea Party people and many conservatives and of course the cable companies wish to set up a two-tiered system.
Sure.
And all of us would have the internet we do now, but you pay a little bit more and you get super fast service. So if you're a player like Netflix, for example, you will pay more and get better service. And so for the first time, we'll set up a series of elites on the internet.
We had an interesting letter before the show, and I don't want to spend a lot of time searching for it, but the writer of the letter, a listener of ours.
Yeah, that was Ryan, who had just taken us to task over. Go ahead.
Over not covering it. Ryan is right. Well, it's a huge thing.
His letter made an interesting point. If you're traveling over, and I'm paraphrasing here because it was a couple of hours ago that I read it. If you're traveling over a bridge or on a highway and there's a toll, does the company that has five axles, six axles, pay the same as those in a passenger car?
Correct.
And so I thought that was an interesting...
I don't get it. Could you explain that to me a little bit more?
In other words,
we have Easy Pass, of course, where there's a huge line. I love it. When I go through with my Easy Pass and there's a huge line on the Mass Pike and, you know, or in the New York State, you know, part of the Mass Pike.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's exactly what the point of the
letter. It's not the same thing. What happens is if you can control the rate of speed and you're Comcast and Times Warner or whatever the conglomerate might be who controls the internet, they control the infrastructure through which content passes, you can slow down people who are not paying the higher prices. It's a way to control money. That's where it's going, and as a right to use what has become a part of American life. I recommend anybody who wants to know more about this, and it is a little bit dense, John Oliver. Fabulous, funny, hysterical, 13-minute piece. You can find it on YouTube. John Oliver and Net Neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but basically, you're for keeping it the way it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yes. Me too.
And I'm not in favor of helping the cable companies, which have set up, basically, they have a monopoly right now. They've figured out, we're joking about
Wegmans.
Well,
the cable companies and the cell phone companies.
And the cell phone. They have become the internet providers. They are providing the infrastructure. And they have already divided the country so that you don't choose between which company you like the best. You only get one because that's all that services that area. And they are talking Comcast and Times Warner about merging. Which would mean, that sounds like a monopoly.
But in my neighborhood, you got the choice of Verizon Fios. You got the choice of Time Warner or...
That's about it. That's all you're going to have.
I think you're in a rare area.
Yeah, and you are.
So Rosemary, then, you're in favor of keeping the status quo, but are you in favor of what the president suggested yesterday, that is putting this whole internet under the control of the FCC?
The rules of the FCC, there's something like 1,000 regulations that broadcasters have to deal with from the FCC.
But
now,
not
the
cable.
President, right, not cable. The president says you can arrange it because you don't need some of these, a lot of these regulations, like for price. That would be separate, but I don't know how you would do it. I think it's fraught with danger.
Mm.
And we have had more mail on this issue than just about anything else.
Net neutrality.
Yes,
it's you. There's the FCC opened their airway. You could send in comments to make public comment about their consideration, and they got like 4 million pieces of mail. Partly, it's John Oliver who welcomed all the trolls out there, monsters of the world, send in a note. And there are campaigns to stop this, as there have been also to stop consolidation of media ownership. It's an issue that people do recognize, even young people on campus. People know about this and have used.
Well, they know
on
about
it.
Net neutrality, all
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those fascinating things, and I was struck even when watching the John Oliver piece, that it's amazing to me that we're this far into it and are just getting around to talking about these things.
As he points out, they have discovered how to do evil in this country. You put it in something boring. You cannot listen or read the New York Times on net neutrality. It's so opaque. It makes my head spin.
Well, here we heard from Bob, who said, does net neutrality mean that grandmothers who use the internet for two emails a week will subsidize people who are streaming a movie every night? John Oliver's rant, "Does He Have Any Other Mode?" included few, if any, facts and little, if any,
the action. Whole thing was filled with facts, and it was an important thing because it spoke to people a lot younger than I suspect that writer is.
You suspect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's an old point of view. And yeah, if you use it, you have to pay more. That's never how the internet has worked. It's the reason it's become as important to American culture as it is.
I'm not saying that it's a good idea or a bad idea, but is there merit to paying more for getting more?
That is what the cable companies and the internet providers are saying.
Well, didn't somebody already get something? Wasn't there one deal that was already arrived at for somebody under the proposed new rules? Somebody got something special. Oh, Netflix. Did Netflix get something special?
Netflix did. You may know about this. I know it was in the articles. Netflix is in favor of this. And
Well, of course.
Yeah. And they actually, there was an experiment where they slowed down. I mean, they actually can do it. The companies have the ability to slow down your service. And a chart has been used. John Oliver used it. The New York Times has used it. The oatmeal, which is another way on the media, on the internet to explain all this simply. They have used this chart. And when Netflix was debating with Comcast in order to, on their new contract, they were negotiating. So Comcast slowed it up, and Netflix was hurt by that because you're streaming video. You need it to run at a certain speed, or you get all frustrated. So
yeah, and
I'm not sure I explained that well, but
no, you do. And you also, in Netflix, you also have a choice of how you're at what point it comes into.
Correct.
Well, Jeremy checked in and said we need a whole show on this. The internet is just fine the way it is. It doesn't need to change at all. This debate is deceptive because we're being told that in order to avoid these hypothetical pay-for-speed internet, we have to give the FCC authority to regulate it. That's a fabricated
interesting
right.
point.
Right, that's very good. Mm-hmm.
And the FCC has screwed up things in the past.
And Jim says net neutrality would be as if when the plane lands, the business passengers are let off and everyone else has to stay on the plane for an hour before they get out.
Also, it's a stupid policy by airlines, but I could go on about them.
Yes,
the
airlines.
Lines, if you pay more, you go through the Premier line. Did you ever notice that? It's right next to the regular line. They just put the little cables like in the movie theater.
On the red carpet. The red carpet.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
It's not speeding up, says Professor Jim Hendler. I'm reading his title because he included it. It's not speeding up the better service. It's slowing down everyone else who doesn't pay extra.
Yeah.
And he's Professor Jim Hendler from RPI, don't you know?
Let's take a break. We'll be back, and we'll continue with our conversation. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens in a farm setting, open 3 weekends in November, featuring make-your-own glass-blown ornaments and work from over 200 artists, snowfarm.org. Inspire, Design, and Build, a fully custom remodeling home addition and new construction company located in Saratoga Springs. Offering design consultation and estimates, inspiredesignandbuild.com. And The Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts. Featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local, Native American, and fairly traded work. TheBlueMarble.biz.
I love it.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We only have a few minutes left. Let's get to as many other topics, actually ones that were on our list.
Really?
Things to talk about.
I just want to say that I think Ray may have changed the changed one of the AP stories a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, because didn't it say holiday tree, and you changed it to Christmas tree?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good vox pop.
It was on the New York Wire about the local... trees being cut down, and the AP says the holiday trees.
And in other words, to be fair to all religions. And Ray said Christmas tree, and I approved what Ray said. I think he did the right thing. It's a Christmas tree.
It is. That's what it is.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Sometimes thanks for bringing that up out of nowhere.
Well, I'm glad that was, pointed out.
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe I could cause some trouble
for
thanks. You.
Thank you. Boy, you never do that.
Yeah. So, things to-do list.
That from the guy who said, thank you. Did you tip your waitress?
No. I don't get coffee delivered.
Fair you didn't ask for
just
it.
Just saying.
She probably would bring it.
Can I get a cruller with this?
The United States and China agreed Tuesday on a plan to eliminate tariffs on dozens of high-tech products, including GPS devices. Also, and we should also talk about the some climate agreements with China as well. What do we make of the president's trip to China and what is being accomplished there? Rosemary.
The Beijing summit, the coverage of this is making me crazy. The reporters are counting how many times Putin tries to pat the president on the back, and his attitude, his mood, it's just nuts. I mean, these are face-to-face meetings with powerful leaders. My question is, why is Putin there? After Ukraine, didn't we say we were going to freeze him out of
these
meetings?
He's there to put shawls on.
I don't think we get to make the choice of who's in China.
No. I mean, I think China, you might be right, because they have a new deal with the Russians, so they brought
The Chinese and the Russians, according to the New York Times, are getting closer and closer.
Exactly. Well, that's Putin needs to do that as economy.
What I want to know is, are we being suckered? I think that's what everybody wants to know, you know.
By China or by Russia?
By China.
In what way?
Well, you know, we make agreements, and then we find sometimes that some of the intellectual property that is over there has been usurped, I believe. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can sign a piece of paper that says, you know, you're gonna take off the tariffs and you're gonna have more free trade. But if people don't play according to the rules, how good is that?
And I think Obama's got a hard game to play here. China is a world leader, an economic leader. The paper tiger that they told us about in high school has now awoken. So how do you deal with that? Do you try to freeze them out? That's not going to work. Yeah. So you try to reach some sort of accommodation with them and treat them as equal partners. That seems like a reasonable way to go.
When you think of what can be accomplished out of the summit as a whole,
I think summits are of limited value. They kind of set up talks, and you get small, maybe symbolic agreements. But the work goes on far beyond a summit, past a summit.
Yeah, but I sort of disagree. I think they're very important, and I think this is a time when people can really get some things done diplomatically, so that if in fact we're getting to the stage where things have been very tense, and then you see everybody getting together.
Yeah, and they went out and planted trees yesterday. Really helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're symbolic. And a lot of diplomacy is, so you do have a good point.
The thing I think I didn't really love was I saw our president dressed in the same tunic that the Chinese guy and the Russian guy. They all had to put on these
little costumes.
This sort of, not only costumes, but, you know, sort of like blue things.
You didn't like the fashion or
no,
the idea that they all dress
tell our
the
president what to wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, it's kind of silly stuff. This isn't like, let's talk about our currency. Let's talk about
Well, you know what they're talking about.
Spying.
They're talking about Iran. They're talking about spying. They're talking about internet stuff. And that's why I disagreed with you before, because I think, you know, the side conversations are the important ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the time. It is. I know Ray's been looking at the time since
the day he walked in.
Yes, we appear to be out of time, and I want to thank you very much for joining us again. You can comment wamc.org/roundtable and just go to the panel link, and you can comment on it there. Rosemary, Ray, Alan, thank you very much for being with us. Always great. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let's see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.